Good morning. We have a full morning's agenda, so we will get underway. Thank you all for attending. We will begin today with the open public input, and we have a handful of folks. I will call you up two at a time, and I think you all know the rules of engagement. 3 minutes, the buzzer goes off, and then you have a few seconds to finish up your thoughts. So, Kurt Kramer and Brian Kramer, please.
Good morning, Chairman Smith, commissioners, director. Once again, thank you for your time and the opportunity to visit with you this morning. I'd like to talk a little bit about Puget Sound Steelhead and the perceived perception that it has a low priority for the agency. Now, obviously, the recent debacles with the hatchery steelhead in Puget Sound is first and foremost in many people's minds. Even though I no longer fish for steelhead, I think I was obligated to come down and talk a minute about that. And people just don't see that the agency is significantly dedicated to fostering steelhead fishing in Puget Sound. Historically, steelhead in Puget Sound fishing was a huge activity. In the mid-1980s, when the agency had full-time krill census on, say, the Snohomish River system, on marked selective fishery targeting hatchery fish only, that fishery would support typically about 60,000 angler trips a winter. To put that in perspective, that compares pretty favorably with what the current ocean effort is at Westport. We all know that the ocean fishery off the coast of Washington is a huge item. But steelhead at one time was a much bigger, in Puget Sound, was bigger than the coastal salmon fisheries. I don't think it get anywhere near that kind of attention. And I would encourage folks to think about that. As some of you know, I've been involved in the so-called Occupy Skagit effort. The folks have been down here talking to you about 3 years about that. We've had numerous conversations about moving forward with some sort of proposal. I'd ask the question, what is the status of that proposal? It's an opportunity to go to create some fishing opportunities, and to my knowledge to date, that still hasn't been submitted to the feds. We're still a year or more out to have any potential fisheries. If it was a priority, if it was a Chinook fishery, I suspect we'd be much further along in that process. And then finally, on a larger scale with steelhead, in 2008, I think it was February of 2008, I was here. The commission adopted the statewide steelhead management plan. As part of that plan, there was a provision that talked about a five-year review. The five-year review was due in 2013, March of February 2013. I'd asked the status of that program, and if and when that review occurs, I don't think it has occurred, that there'd be an ample opportunity for the public to respond. It was a land-making policy to start with. It was acknowledged at the time that it was a working document that was based on evolving science, and it would be helpful to look at what the state of the science is today and have an opportunity for folks that are passionate about the resource to talk and put input into that. One of the concerns is, given the recent debacle that north of Falcon was, is Puget Sound Chinook going to be the next issue? And thank you, and I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Kurt. Question, yes?
We should just respond briefly that we do have a blue sheet, which is the way the commission asked the staff to brief us on the status of something. We have that. We adopted that months ago. And I think August is when we're going to get our steelhead briefing. And it includes every topic related to steelhead, including the Occupy Skagit logic, the HGMPs issue, and the displaced pressure over on the Olympic Peninsula. And we'll just look at doing that review that's required.
I just here to just let you know that Those items are alive and well in the public's mind, and there's an awful lot of passion in the steelhead resort fishing community.
And we appreciate you holding our fingers to the fire on that. Thank you, Kurt. Steve Gray, please, and Brian.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak to you all today. I just wanted to, I guess I should start out by saying I have a penchant for stating the obvious, and I think that the public, the angling public, is very concerned with the direction the agency's heading overall. I don't think that they feel like the agency is keeping the faith on a variety of topics, whether you're talking about steelhead, the North of Falcon disaster for Chinook this year, the hatchery trout program in Western Washington, the debacle that was the Cabazon regulation. I mean, any area that you care to talk to people, you'll find a lot of dissatisfaction and not a high degree of confidence that the agency is moving in the right direction to promote angling. And I would point out that this is a very substantial portion of the budget is license fees coming from those anglers. And my concern is that if this crisis of confidence continues to progress, it's going to leave the agency in a very bad place. And I would say that, you know, myself and other advisors on the various advisory boards have frequently been the frontline ambassadors between the agency and explaining complicated issues to the public. And I think the way the agency has treated their advisors in recent history, not listening to what they say, et cetera, is really exacerbating that problem. So I think it's time for a course correction. I'm not sure that there's any one specific thing that needs to be done, but, you know, repeats of, like, the North of Falcon process this year, the steel hatchery steelhead thing a couple years ago, it's not, there's not too many more of those the agency can endure before there is a serious crisis. So that's my two bits on that.
Thank you. Any questions? Bill Osborne, please. And Steve.
Steve Gray, we own a pretty large cannery. One of the things I'm going to respond to very quickly here is when we met with the county commissioners, we had Jim Scott there, and we asked Jim Scott and Willapaw, who pays to raise the fish? And like Jim Scott told them and told you, I would think he will, the Macy to run the hatcheries in Willapaw is paid from the public tax base, so the public who raise the fish in Willapaw. We try and catch them for them. I know all this is very hard for most of you people because there's so much to it. What I want to bring up here in the Willapaw thing is that if you're going to do a yearly plan, which I think we've done or we're doing, you still have a year to get this thing right. And what I'm going to try and explain to you is the handling mortalities are very incorrect in Willapaw. We need to spend some time and address that because that's what drives the bus. The handling mortalities we're using in Willapaw were from a study done in Columbia. Cost millions of dollars, which was fine. And the study showed 45% handling with 8-inch, and it showed 17% with a 4.25-inch net. Willapaw used the 45% as did everybody else. A year and a half into it, NOAA came along and said, your study wasn't done correctly. You need to take the fish that you used as your control group from the out of the ladder at Bonneville Dam, move them back down here like the rest of the fish. They did that. And they found that the study then showed 40% mortality with 8-inch net. Did Willapaw go to 40? Nope. We still used 45. First mistake. Then we have a study group that comes along, and the study group says, We're going to look at this, and we see somebody throw a fish overboard. We're going to add 10%. In Willapaw, you catch a lot of dog sharks. We're going to take them away from the net. We're going to throw it out here to get rid of it. That's probably 90% of what it was, but we added 10%. The next thing they decided, well, we're going to add 10% because you have grass. Every one of you that fishes, if you're going to fish Chinooks, you're going to fish 40 feet deep, you're going to troll on the bottom. Same thing with the net. The fish are going to be down there 30, 40 feet. When that net comes up, there's grass in Willapaw, comes up in the cork line, the fish comes up 30, 40 feet down here. He's going to be on one side of your roller, and the net grass is on the other. No impact. Let's add 10%. So all of a sudden, the things in Willapaw have gone from 45 to 55 to 65, where if I set you down and said to you, let's look at the study. The study showed you in the Columbia River, spring salmon, they're going to go up the river 1 to 200 miles. Willapaw, they're going to go 10, 15 miles to the hatchery. Where do you think the most mortality is going to be? The Columbia River fish are going to go 6 months before they spawn, lay in that river. Willapaw fish spawn in 2 or 3 weeks. Where's the most mortality? The dams in the Columbia, the redo of the tests prove to you that the Bonneville Dam caused 5% mortality immediately. How many dams do you have in Willapaw? None. Yet in the Columbia, those fish are going to go over dam after dam. So when you use the 45%, which should have been 40, it really should have been 25. You shouldn't add 10 and 10. What I'm saying is you drive the whole plan for Willapa Bay. You have these inequities in it that are there. We need to stop the permanent plan and relook at this and figure it out. You had hundreds of trips of your biologists on boats that could have given you all the information. It's all written, but nobody looked at any of that. My time up, Dave, yeah. Brad? I'm so deaf I don't hear. Sorry. Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Anyway, thank you.
But any questions for Steve? Thank you, Steve. Bill?
Commission members, my name is Bill Osborne. I'm from Aberdeen. I'm not going to talk about Willapa. I'm going to talk about and make a comment on 4-3 in Grays Harbor, that needs to stay. That's good for conservation. That's good for the fishery above 101 Bridge, the mom-and-pop fishery, all the bank fishermen, and et cetera. We've been shortchanged for a lot of years. Just a quick comment on the three gillnet fisheries in Grays Harbor, whether you know it or not, Chehalis tribe nets, the Quinault tribe nets, and the NT fishermen's also net the lower river. I don't think we need, at this time in history, three gillnet fisheries on a declining resource. End of that comment. Might wonder what this is. I was a school teacher for 30 years. I used audiovisual aids in the classroom. Okay, this has to do with the Wainuchi and the mitigation money, 22 years. There's 22 years of dents in that can. Okay, I don't want to see 23 or 24. The mitigation money is not even state money. It is Tacoma City Light money. $2.4 million has been sitting in a fund for 22 years now for coho, for steelhead. We can't get together. Nobody seems to want to take the lead on how to spend that money. The money benefits the department, and I don't understand why that hasn't been a faster move. There's a haul truck. Modification to the fish trap is that below the dam that needs to be done, because the way it's done now, when they truck steelhead, they take a net, they hand it from there, they put it up in the truck. Sometimes somebody drops the fish, and so there needs to be modifications. Actually, I wondered for a long time why the budget for Region 6 didn't include those changes, and I've had concerns about that, but at least it's in this mitigation money. Let's get the damn stuff spent. Let's get fish coming back. It would benefit the marine fishery, the gillnet fishery, and most of all, sport fishermen in the river. We're the ones that have been shortchanged for 22 years. I do have some concerns about how they want to approach coho. At one time, they were going to raise them in Lake Aberdeen, and if you know anything about that, Van Winkle Creek goes out to the Chehalis River. Although they would be raised on part Wainuchi water, when you pull that pin and let the coho go, they bypass all the tribal set nets, and a lot of those fish would never get to the Wainuchi, because the Van Winkle Creek dumps in not very far above 101 Bridge. So there's got to be a pretty good plan on coho. Steelhead, they can truck up and put them in. Thank you.
Thank
no
you.
No more. Or else you'll see this can every year. I'm here to tell you. Thank you.
Thank you. Alyssa Dukin?
Good morning, Director, Commissioners. Thank you for letting me speak. I know I'm just a few minutes late today. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about freshwater fishing. As you know, most of you have seen me before, and that I'm a freshwater fishing advocate, that I have long-term ties to the North Nema River, where I'm the granddaughter of a settler there, that we were the first white folks to settle the entire area. And over the years, it's been very challenging to sit back and see the changes that the Department of Fisheries has made that disregarded the native fish that we had in the river, and trying to move forward in a positive fashion with what we have left that I'd like in particular on this particular moment to address opening up the closed water on the NEMA. We had some closures in the late 80s that were regulated by conservation standards. We were not meeting the hatchery escapement that we had for Chinook or Coho at that time, and those concerns no longer apply. And I'm truly frustrated working with Steve Thiesfeld and the Department of Fisheries trying to get that open these last several years. And, you know, one or two landowners have stepped forth up there to say that they are concerned with trespassing, the possibility of trespassing, and they don't want it open because they don't want to deal with possible trespassers if it's reopened. It's not that it's never been opened. It's just been closed for a while. And so I'm begging to try to put that on your venue and your agenda and give that some due consideration as we move forward and recommend to the Department of Fisheries that we do that. Thank you.
Thank you. And that brings to an end the public input from this portion of the agenda.